This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Match Ball.
Well, here we are then, back for another Match Ball evening. If you are watching this straight away, it's on YouTube. It's available as a podcast as well. Dan, Michael and Rob on the Match Ball. Moscow still recovering from his bout with COVID. Podcast is brought to you by Levi Solicitors. levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball for a 10% discount on your legal fees. That was a right old swift kick in the bollocks, wasn't it?
That wasn't very Christmassy, was it?
It was just so not deserved. We didn't deserve that, did we?
No.
I mean, it was a weird game. I feel like it could have probably been 0-0 on another day if people weren't putting daft tackles in.
It's the hope that kills you, isn't it? Like, we went into this game at the start, we were saying, the three of us, like, we were all quite chill, quite relaxed about it, the whole thing, before it all started kicking off and goals started going in. But then we went ahead, didn't we? And then it gave us hope. And that hope was smashed. Not once, but twice. Or thrice, actually.
We went into the game thinking there was nothing really to lose. And then we scored and there suddenly was something to lose, which was kind of terrifying. And we went from being sat here quite relaxed in the studio watching the game to then I suddenly felt really tense. Michael, no, it only took you 10 minutes, Michael, before you were calling for us to start whistling for full time.
I'm trying to be quite philosophical about it because we fully expected nothing from that game. Mm. All right, we've come out of it with nothing, but at least we put in a good performance. Like, everyone was terrified. When they saw that lineup, everyone was terrified. When everyone knew about the injuries, terrified. But we actually put in a really good performance.
We were good. The first 20 minutes, I couldn't really tell what was happening because they had all the ball and I was sort of thinking, oh, it's just a matter of time until they break us down. But then we had a decent patch and actually it became clear that they didn't have any great ideas to break us down, and they didn't all game. I mean, their three goals were, it was a Dallas mistake trying to play out the back and then two penalties. And it was like, for all the talent they had on the pitch, they didn't actually ever...
Shite.
They didn't really ever cut through us though, did they?
Well, considering, the thing to look at, $100 million sub comes off the bench.
We brought Cresswell on at the same time.
We brought on Cresswell and we brought on Joffe, who were signed for a grand total of, what, £1 million or something?
I think
like
our
that?
Bench in total, we paid about £6 million for. So, and they had, yeah, looking at their bench, they had like Lukaku, 100 mil, Pulisic 58, Kepa 70, Zayek 40. So they had some decent people on there, despite their own alleged injury crisis.
And we went toe to toe with them. Yeah, it's so hard to take, isn't it? That last minute.
I mean, on the plus side, we were good.
Yeah,
like we played well. We should have got something from the game.
It gives you encouragement for the rest of the season, doesn't it?
It's got a bit of a vibe of Anfield last season, where you went there and we sort of went toe to toe to them with them and played really well. And yeah, it's just a penalty at the end and a really soft. I mean, all three goals were just so soft, which is what makes it all the more frustrating, I guess.
Mm. Yeah, frustrating it is, isn't it?
The penalties, are we going to...
I mean, it was the referee for a start. Let's go in on the ref. Chris Kavanagh. And then Mike Dean's on VAR. I mean,
Graham Kavanagh's son, probably.
Is he the pop star from the 1990s?
He was the one who played for Cardiff and the grey hair.
No, he always...
Carlisle, he was playing against Leeds forever, wasn't he?
Haunted us, didn't he? Yeah, that was really hard to take. I mean, like, when you saw the click kick in the 93rd minute, then what did you think? Like, because we were all sort of trying to rationalise it within ourselves, saying that can't be a penalty. No, surely not. It's too simple to be a penalty. He's just like lifted his leg up. That's not a penalty in the last minute of a Premier League football match.
The thing is, it isn't a penalty if it doesn't go down, because that sort of tackle happens all the time. And generally speaking, people feel a little that if that ball's on coming down a touchline from a throw in, and someone puts in that sort of a tackle behind someone, and the ball just goes out for a throw, there's never a free kick given. But the play doesn't go down because there's no real function to it. Whereas the position he was in, he gave him the opportunity to go down, didn't he? And it's one of those where you watch it back and you're just like, just don't do.
It's never going to get overturned, is it? Because there was the slightest bit of contact, but it shouldn't be enough contact to make Rudiger go down.
Just look at Jan-Arge Fjortoft, who's a Leeds fan, former Premier League player, asks the question, why is VAR always on the side of the strongest? And that's one of the feelings you take away from this, isn't it? Like, you look at the fixtures today, Liverpool, Man City, and Chelsea have all won with penalties. I haven't seen Liverpool's penalty, whether it went to VAR or not.
Let's assume it was a dive by Salah.
Yeah. But we got one as well, because we were kind of saying, was that a penalty when Dan James got his legs taken? Was it?
I feel like 10 years ago, none of those penalties probably. Because the Dan James one, he's definitely doesn't get any of the ball, and he definitely gets a fair bit of Dan James, but he's kind of just kicked the ball away, hasn't he?
It's what we've kind of wanted Dan James to do all season, to be fair. And it's annoying. I mean, like, Mike Dean wouldn't give him a penalty at Newcastle, but then he's gone today. It's all three of them. But yeah, we watched it and we're a bit like, oh, it looks like Dan James just messed that up and is now dived. But I having seen it back again, that's not going to be overturned because there is a contact again.
I think I did. As he got the ball, I went, dive, you little scumbag. And then he did about a fraction of a second later. And I was like, oh, there you go.
Oh, yeah, he was listening to me. That's your coaching methods again, Michael, coming to the fore.
Well, it seemed to work for him at Scum all the time, did going down. But yeah, I wasn't massively convinced by any of the penalties particularly. The Rafinha one at first looked a really bad decision, but the more you slow it down, the more you realise he's got Rudiger's left foot with his right foot before he's got any of the ball, and it's annoying to watch Rudiger, who's an absolute solid man, going down flapping about the place.
But they know to play the game, don't they?
But it's just so annoying. We've no one to blame but ourselves.
No,
is the annoying thing about it.
The annoying one about Chelsea's first penalty, I thought, was that because it was Rudiger, why is Rafinha diving in? You think it's a centre back just standing up, because he's not a tricky winger trying to go around you. He's just a lumbering centre half, and Rafinha just bought it completely, which was
It was an attacker's tackle.
Yeah, definitely.
So frustrating, wasn't it? Because you're thinking, because again, you watch that and you think, well, it's not a penalty, is it? Not really, because he has got the ball, he has taken the man, and he did get the man first. You're absolutely right. Mm. But clearly took the ball. There was no situation there where you think Rudiger's coming out of that with him or he denied him anything. But then you all think, because he's gone through him with quite a lot of force, that
it's one of those. Where just you can see from the way he's tackled him, he's not a man who particularly tackles very often. Like, his legs are really wide, he's kind of chopping in on him. Like, the whole thing is massively untidy, and it gives the attacker a lot of chance to get a bit of their body in the way.
So you make the decision for him, don't you?
Yeah,
that was the thing at Anfield as well last year, because it was Rodrigo who came on and gave the penalty away, and it was very much like, oh yeah, that's why you play up front, because you're not meant to tackle him.
Yeah,
but he's injured now anyway, is Rafinha, at least, so at least you don't have to see that shit bastard for a while. Good.
Is it? Although, funnily enough, we did have that late spell again when he'd gone off, a little bit like Wolves, which is bizarre. You forget all that, don't you? But oh god, what a kick in the balls. The only thing that's happier about that 95th minute this week versus what happened earlier in the week is my bloody shin, which has been killing ever since when I destroyed it on the seats in the East Stand.
I was a bit...
Although I did feel like kicking something out in the office here then when that went in.
I nearly took Rob's head off and booted him. He was walking around the corner and I booted a can of pop.
I had to duck.
A full one, you threw it, didn't you? Because I was struggling then with the last few minutes, so I was walking around in the office sort of peeking back through the door into the studio. You two were in, I had objects flying.
You'd gone full Bielsa at QPR when I came out at full time. You just sat on the floor, hood over your head, looking at your phone.
I was a very disappointed man at that point. So right, let's go back to the start then. When did it all start happening?
First minute, that's when the game.
I actually wrote down on my sheet of paper for my notes, 23 minutes, starting to get a sniff. It's the hope that kills you. Mm. That's the point at which I first realised it.
What else happened in the first half?
When did we score? Reece James should have been sent off first, shouldn't he?
He was out.
He was out of control.
Yellows. It was a very firm yellow.
Hard yellow.
A hard yellow. But it's one of those that if the ref does send him off, he might stay sent off. I don't know.
We were sort of making the same noise when Tyler Roberts absolutely flew into a challenge by the touchline, which he seemed to do a few times.
Mm. But that was Tyler, and he was just putting in loads of effort, whereas Reece James was just being dirty. It was a James on James hate crime. Didn't it see that?
It was
Dan James who got fouled, wasn't it?
Mm.
Which nobody likes to see. So what minute did we get the penalty?
Oh god, you're asking for actual facts and stuff now.
I've got the 25th minute for that.
Yeah, it was about then.
Oh good, that was nice.
28th minute by the time it goes in. Yeah,
because it's funny in the build up to this, Michael. Like, we've been saying, every so often Leeds can have a day where stuff it goes a bit wild and stuff starts to happen and we come out of it with the result. And it actually was getting towards that, towards the end, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. And we'd said, like, is there a man sent off? There's a penalty. You never know when stuff starts going mad. And it felt it was heading a little bit that way today when we scored the penalty. But, oh.
And it was just a great moment when Gallagher scored as well. It was his first touch, wasn't it? And I think we might have heard about his only touch, to be fair.
I've just seen he had three touches. One of them was a goal and the other one was a key pass, which is not bad going, really.
Not bad. He's dead good. I mean, I know it's better that we have all our players fit, but I am desperate to see more of Gallagher.
Well, live updates. Phil has just tweeted this very second that Strauch was going to play today, but injured his foot in training yesterday.
Oh, good.
So we are down to beyond the bare bones.
Oh, God.
It's looking a bit tough, isn't it? Good job we haven't got another game this week.
I mean, Click, I think he's fairly badly out of form, but you look at the bench and there isn't anyone else to bring on. Like, no. The rest of them have got, I don't know, I mean, Clausen, Creswell, Drama, McKinstry, McCarron, Gellert, Somerville. I'd be surprised if they've got like 3 hours of first team football between them, which is ridiculous that we're into that position.
I feel really good for Click because he came on and, you know, it was like the quartet of much maligned players linked up for the goal. It was Firpo, Harrison, Click, Roberts. Mm. And it was such a lovely move to create the goal. And it was such a great moment. We all went mad in here. And yeah, you kind of think, all right, some momentum, great, we can kick on from that. And then it's Click that gives away the penalty. And maybe it is a daft tackle, but I still think he's quite unlucky in that scenario.
You think he's unlucky? Or do you think it was daft? Which one? Or a bit of both?
I think we're unlucky. As people watching it, I feel unlucky. Because they weren't doing anything. They weren't cutting through us. It seemed fine. I know they brought Lukaku on, but he obviously is always going to carry some threat. But at no point were they battering us. It wasn't like it was a far cry from like opening day of the season where we were playing scum and they had moments where it was like they were just cutting through us every 2 minutes, and it felt like you were properly having to watch it peeking through your fingers because like every time they go forward they're going to score. There was never really that feeling today.
In fairness, I was watching it I was out there at that point. I went to the loo for a sit down in there for a bit just to hide. And then I was sat out in the office. I didn't really see that last few minutes, but then I had started peeking back through the curtain just in time to see the penalty given.
I've just got the some of the stats up, and the XG. If you take out the penalties, you'd say a draw was a fair result. Essentially, it's it can fuck off. 2.17 to 1.74. The XG.
So when we went in front, that was 25. You say when did they equalise? It was before half time, wasn't it?
Yeah, 42 minutes.
Mason Mount. And Dallas again getting caught.
Yeah.
But it's that, I mean, I wrote it down actually. I took a note. Hey. It was. Oh, God.
Here he is, Boris Johnson. Bear with me.
Talk about
Peppa Pig.
1-1, shot ourselves in the foot, floated hospital pass, as it was described by Matt Thomas. Tweeted us to say that. And that's what it is. We've seen that so many times where he floats that out, everyone knows it's coming, and we get closed down and caught in possession.
We had a couple of goes at playing ourselves into trouble as well up from the back, and with that one they'd already tried to play out, I think, to the left hand side, and it had gone back to Meslier, and it was a pretty telegraphed ball. You knew it was coming out to Dallas, and then he had to get that touch right, which is difficult because Alonso was right on his toes.
We don't leave a lot of margin for error in the way we play out. It's the situation there that if you get caught, they're going to have a good chance.
That reminds me of Llorente, you know, late on when he seemed like he was off balance and he switched it from his right foot to his left foot and then played it back across goal. Me and you, we kind of both held our breath, didn't we, for a second. Like,
the other one, I made note towards the end as well, there was a bit where they just played it over to our right, 85 minutes, they just played the ball over to our right, and they seemed to have three players there, and we didn't have anyone there, and it's like, hang on, where's everyone gone for a second? But nothing came of it.
Well, you do occasionally get a Firpo somewhere on the right wing, don't you, when he's tracked his man all the way over there. I thought he was really good today, Firpo.
Yeah, he was all right.
I think that's probably his best performance.
We seem to have kind of two fullbacks on either side in that Shackleton was sat in front of Dallas, and Harrison was sat in front of Firpo, and I think that might have been what helped make Chelsea look kind of a bit sluggish because their wing backs are their strength, I guess.
Yeah, so
we just completely cut that off.
Do we think 4-3-3, Rob?
Ish. It was a weird three in the middle, though.
I'd started drawing little diagrams in the first half trying to work out. I was like, well, James is sort of but central.
I've got it sort of Firpo, Llorente, Ayling, Dallas as the back four.
Mm.
And then I did rip my sheet in anger, but Harrison sort of on the left hand side of midfield, Forshaw and Shackleton. And then there's a name missing there, you see, look, because I can't see who it was. But I presume that's where Dan James was. And Dan James sort of inside left.
Yeah.
Roberts, deep, number nine, and then Raf playing on the right.
It worked,
sort of, yeah.
It was very much like just let their defenders have the ball and we sat deep. It was like Bielsa versus the top six in the second half.
It was Man City away, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Man City away.
And it was working, yeah. Second half, it kind of changed when he brought Click on, and I suppose we had to go for it a little bit more. But yeah, it was really working. And you just thought, can we get to halftime? And it would have been buzzing at 1-0. But I think once they got to 1-1 before halftime, I was kind of like, well, they're going to take the lead at some point, aren't they?
Yeah, I'd resign myself to it as well. Not in a really like angry way.
But at no point did the game actually pan out in the way we imagined it would, I don't think.
No.
Like, I think we thought they've equalised, they'll sort themselves out at halftime, they might bring Lukaku on, they'll make the changes, and we won't be able to do anything with it. Whereas actually, we were kind of all right.
Yeah.
We were comfortable throughout that game.
Yeah, no, we were. I thought we did really, really well. Talk to me about Firpo then, and where we see him fitting, because he did do all right, did Firpo, I thought.
He still looks a little bit vulnerable when people run at him. He seems to go at people quite square, and then has to do a bit of backtracking, and it's sometimes a bit awkward for him. But I must admit, I was much more fearful than I needed to be today, because I think James is really good going forwards, and I thought he might peg him back. But I think maybe we've learnt from what happened against Brighton, and Harrison was given a much more defensive role, and there was Dan James over there for a lot of the game as well. So he had plenty of support today.
We were sat quite deep, weren't we? There were times when we had, like, it was almost 4-6.
Yeah.
4-6-0.
And obviously that does make it in some ways easy for a fullback as well, because there's not a load of space in behind you like against Brighton, he basically just kept kicking the ball into space and running straight past Firpo, but because we were deeper, there was not particularly the option to do that for a lot of the game.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
There's a question I've just seen. Dom Bradders on Twitter tweeting Phil Hay asking about the soft touch VAR. What's happened to the soft touch VAR that considers the intent of the attacker? Surely Rudiger's looking for that penalty. Well, the answer to that is Mike Dean, isn't it? Is the long and short of it.
Mike Dean, who didn't think the foul on Dan James at Newcastle was a penalty, is worth saying, when he was on the pitch looking at that one.
Right, so hang on, where were we? We were at half time, weren't we? Half time, it was 1-1 at that point, and then they went in front.
What minute was that? I've lost track entirely of what has gone on. 58 minutes.
All right. Yeah, I mean, at that point, you think the game's won, don't you, really?
Yeah, it should have been from their point of view. I mean, coming into this, we said they're not in good form. Like, they were fortunate to beat Watford, drew with Scum. What else has happened to them? They lost to someone in the middle of it all as well.
West Ham,
that was it. So they haven't been playing very well, and you can kind of see why, based on that they are less than the sum of their parts based on today's performance.
And then
they still fucking
this is football in a nutshell, isn't it? It's so frustrating. It's like I say, if we'd have just been pumped today, you'd go, oh, well, we expected it.
Yeah,
but it's the fact that we've given ourselves a glimpse, and you come out of it thinking, do you know what, we'll be alright this season. Actually, with performances like this, with such a depleted side against a good side like this, we will be all right.
A steady 3-0 defeat would have somehow felt all right, wouldn't it? We'd have been like, if they'd have scored goals on, 20, 60 and 80 minutes. 3-0. Yeah. Oh, well.
Let nature take its course.
We're under no pressure to get anything from this. They're a really good side. Look at all the money they spent. Yada, yada, yada. As it is, we're kind of going, oh, no.
I suppose you hope that it gives the players confidence going into games against City and Liverpool and Arsenal, that they can kind of take the game to these teams. But then you hope that they don't think, oh, shit, we've just blown our chance against
No, I mean, this,
in this run of
fixtures. They're made of sterner stuff than that, aren't they? Your chance isn't gone just because you've dropped points here.
And we've gone up a place anyway. Yeah. Rob was pointing out, because of the goal difference, Southampton have lost 3-0 at Arsenal, so we have actually gone above them now.
I mean, again, you can't strip that out of context, can you? As disappointing as it is to walk away with nothing from that, the league, it's shite down there. It is shite.
It's very crowded down there now.
So as long as we come out of this game and the gap is not any narrower.
Yeah, I mean, we're in the awkward position now. We're probably going to watch the second half of Scum and be cheering on those United boys against Norwich. So
I'm going to clip that bit.
It's a bit awkward, by the way. That's why Moscow's not here. He's gone to the game, I heard. He's cheering him on. Maybe he's infecting the Scum fans.
Yes. And then what minute did we equalise? Because that was late and I enjoyed it.
Oh, it was great, wasn't it? Such a lovely mo. That was 83 minutes.
That's like
for that, what it was worth.
That feels like you've
good finish,
pretty
good
much seen it out. I mean, it was, yeah, we said before, didn't we? Like the build up to that, Rob, as you said, it was fantastic. Where you kind of go, oh, this is the best of Bielsa. To get that performance out of these players, you know, there's been so many question marks. Like the question marks about the lineup today going into this. And look at the performance they've just put on, beaten by a £1 billion football team. I don't know if they cost £1 billion, but I'm assuming they did.
They've certainly spent that over the last decade, haven't they? I'd be absolutely certain of it. I'm glad that Gallagher's got a goal as well, because I feel like with that, his performance against Wolves, did well against Spurs when he started. I feel like he's put himself in contention for actual starts now. It feels like Bielsa's been quite hesitant to actually put him in unless he feels he really has to.
Mm.
Whereas with this run of games coming up, he can maybe get a start.
And Roberts providing some end product in his last two games as well. He's got a goal and an assist now, which I think is always the big criticism of him, is that those columns just go untouched for so long. But in the last two games, he's done both.
Yeah.
And he's playing all right.
Yeah, it was good today.
I thought his link-up play was all right. There was that moment where he did that Robertsy shot where it went over towards the corner. I'm like, oh, bless him.
I've got Roberts pass, what the fuckery.
Rafinha did two of them as well. He booted it out.
And he does,
twice.
But the point is the eyes are not on Rafinha for that, because he's got so much credit elsewhere, hasn't he? Whereas, you know, he doesn't really got a lot of credit in the bank.
We've not given Rafinha any real criticism for giving away a penalty either. No. I know we said it was a daft striker's tackle, but...
Yeah, well, let's go back to that then.
What the fuck?
Don't do that.
No, you don't.
Stand up. Just stand up.
In the same way you're just willing to click to put his leg down.
He's not about to shoot and you have to put a tackle in to stop it going in.
Well, he just got that sniff of the ball, didn't he? Because he kind of was trying to keep it in and he kind of overrun it almost. And he's just that... Obviously, his instinct is to just go for it. But the...
We did call Rudiger his pantomime villain on the main podcast, and he did live up to it. Yeah,
it's just annoying that he's such a big shit out of a bloke, and then he's gone down so incredibly easily twice. But I suppose he's allowed to if he's kicked.
Let's have a look. Thomas Tuchel.
I'm still allowed to hate him.
Yeah, well, Thomas Tuchel and why his players were making gestures towards LUFC fans. I didn't see it. I was fully focused on the match. You will know better than I do.
What did they do?
That was Mount. After the goal, wasn't it?
I'm glad somebody asked him about that.
Well, I mean, Rafinha dancing in front of the Chelsea fans after scoring was quite nice.
Just talking about the fracas, good use of fracas, from Popey's tweet.
I was in the toilet, I think, when this was kicking off. I was straight out of the room at full time.
Bielsa's view is that it's normal that passions are liberated. Liberate my passion, but it's... after such an intense encounter.
Liberate Rudiger's teeth.
He wished it hadn't happened, but he felt it wasn't beyond what might be expected in such a situation. Likes a bit of a tear up deep down, does Marcelo, and he's pleased with Gelhardt as well. Reflects his qualities in the right place at the right moment. That's the closest he's come to a football cliche, I think, ever in his post match, isn't it? Those characteristics at this level are important. Is it time to let him loose now? Do you think a bit more?
It's hard to argue against it. He's not played many minutes, and he's been absolutely instrumental in two goals now out of what is. It's not even a full game, is it? It was an hour at Spurs, about 15 minutes today and about 15 minutes against Wolves, and he's won a penalty, he's got a key pass and a goal today. He's brilliant. I mean, we've seen it in the reserves that he's kind of got something about him, and I know it's always difficult to necessarily say you can make the step up.
He's got the sauce.
They're all top half teams as well that he's played against. Mm. Like, he's not being thrown in against Norwich or someone.
Yeah, he's not doing it in the big games. I'd like to see more of him. And I could sort of see, I mean, I know the Dan James half playing up front thing is something Bielsa seems to like, and I could sort of see the point of it today with potential counter attacks and stuff.
You can see why he likes him though.
Yeah.
I know he's there's questionable moments, and there are always questions about his final ball because that's the sort of characteristics that have been applied to him and the stereotypes and the label and all that. Not, you know, with good reason at times. But you can see as he sort of fits in week by week what he wants to get out of him.
Mm. He was good today, I thought. He is very difficult. And he does the amount of tracking across the back line he does as well, as in their back line when they're trying to play it out. It is very difficult to play against, I would imagine. You'd be thoroughly pissed off with him by the end of the game because he's just constantly at you and then going over.
It's funny, you know, just thinking about that game going into it, how liberated I felt. Kind of thought, I'm just going to enjoy this because I think it was at the Phil Hay show where I said, we're never as bad as we fear we are going into these games. Even when we're depleted, we're a better side than we sometimes give ourselves credit for, you know, when the terror and the fear takes over and all that sort of stuff. So I'm trying to concentrate on that. As disappointing as that finale was, is that there's loads of stuff to take heart from. Admittedly, no points, and points is all that matters. But if we can just keep that gap to the bottom lot, then we should be fine.
It's just the recurring theme of this year, isn't it? That we seem to be never, apart from Southampton maybe, where we were really down about it, we generally come away from games like, there was more for us, like drawing, being in the lead against Brentford at home and playing really well against Wolves and not winning. And it just feels like we're always just a tiny bit off at the moment.
Do you think?
And it's frustrating because I feel like with a touch more luck, we could probably have about 8 more points this season.
Yeah.
And everything would be really comfortable.
I do wonder on that, though, that if with one eye on the January window, and if they were to act in a few weeks' time, just to give the squad a little refresh, something new to look at, something, you know, a player who offers something very slightly different, whatever that might be, just a fresh personality in the dressing room. I'm not, you know, do you know what I mean? Just that sense of renewing it a little bit.
Or someone who isn't a child.
Yeah, just might give them that extra little leg up. You know, it takes the pressure off the rest of them if they're feeling a little bit of pressure, given the league position. And it just gives everybody a little bit something new and shiny to concentrate on and shows another little sign of progress. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we need to sign someone.
Yeah.
Which I know it's very different. Probably debate for another day, but I mean, the squad is absolutely decimated. There is no one left. And if Rafinha's out, and depending on how badly injured Strouk is. I mean, Strouk, you've got to remember, at the start of last season, wasn't even considered a first-team player particularly, was he? He ended up playing and has come in and done really well, but like he is not someone of, you know, with 150 games behind him and has been established in the team. He is someone who was, we probably thought, would be, you know, still being used off the bench more often than not, and he's all of a sudden become one of our first-team players because there is no one else. So, not that he's not good enough, because I think he's great, but it feels like there's a lot of pressure on people like him.
Because, well, Click was probably one of the few senior players we had on the bench, and he was the one that came on, and obviously he's conceded the penalty. Where do you think he is in the grand scheme of things as well? Because obviously the reaction to such disappointment and him doing that is Click's finished. That's what the general Twitter theme is.
Mm.
Is Click finished?
I mean, people have been saying that for about 8 months, it feels like. It feels like he's got to that kind of Costa Roberts stage almost, of whenever he shows his face, everyone's just not happy. I don't necessarily think he's as bad as people are making out, albeit he's not playing great either.
He's not been very effective for a long time, is the thing. He's not, if we're talking about the basic stats of assists and goals, he's not done much in a long time, it feels like. And he's not, it feels like he's lost his mojo a little bit in terms of doing his mischievous stuff as well, which I think is when he was at his best for us, is when he would come on and
you need to be in form almost to carry that off.
Cause a bit of havoc. But it comes back to the attachment we have to the promotion squad, and I don't want him to go out like this.
No.
It'd sadden me if we bought someone in January and he came on for like 10 minutes in half a dozen games and then left at the end of the season. I'd be like, that's not the way you go out. You deserve something better than this.
It's like you said, though, it would help him out a lot if he wasn't the only adult on the bench. Because at the minute, whatever happens, it's like, right, you know, if anyone gets injured anywhere, it's like, well, we'll bring Click on first
and Dallas
we'll
move will
Dallas
move.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Which isn't ideal.
Just going to Bielsa's comments about this. Well, first of all, no cards were shown after the final whistle because we're obviously walking a bit of a tightrope with it, suspensions there, aren't we? And
that's the point. Has anyone?
I don't think so, because Cooper was one of them. I think Rodrigo was one of them. So
we've carefully got around it by all of them being injured, because Phillips was another as well, I think.
Very clever. That's why we've done it, isn't it? Yeah. It's like in Escape to Victory, where they break the goalkeeper's arm just so Hatch can play. You know, Sylvester Stallone just duking the stats. Bielsa saying that we would have deserved a draw. Errors are part of the game unless they are unjustified or impudent. I wouldn't class either of those penalties as that. First of all, what does impudent mean? I just need to double check. Impudent.
Come on then.
Some live.
In terms of as a penalty, I don't know what impudent. Impudent foul or impudent penalty? What's he?
It's not showing due respect for another person. Like impertinent. He could have strangled this impudent upstart. So it's something about.
So no one got strangled.
No disrespectful penalties.
Okay.
Which is fine. Impudent. Very good. So yeah, there we are. Apologies if you were looking for the live stream, by the way, because the internet just wouldn't be. It wasn't up to scratch, was it?
This no, just, it just kept
for
dropping
whatever
out.
Reason. Yeah, it kept dropping out. It wasn't fast enough bitrate, so we would have looked like we were being filmed on a potato. So instead, we've recorded it, uploaded it afterwards. And if you're listening afterwards, that's what you're missing out on. TSB Plus subscribers get to look at our beautiful faces post match and share in our disappointment. Well, nothing from Carrow Road yet. It's 20 minutes in. It's 0-0. So hopefully.
Useless scum.
Our brave, brave boys, etc., etc. Anything final to add then before we wrap it up?
Fuck off.
That's what it feels like, one of those games, isn't it?
It's one of those. Like, not watching Match of the Day tonight. I can piss off as well.
Go get your father's gun.
Yeah, very true. And we will be back on, so no weekly show on Tuesday this time, which is stupid.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll fashion some podcasts out of this week, and we'll be back with another Match Ball after Man City very late on Tuesday night, and then maybe do some podcasts on Wednesday or whatever.
Yeah, at least we'll get to hear, with the late equaliser that we got, we'll be able to hear some Chelsea fans moaning about how they need to strengthen the squad in January.
Yeah.
Which they almost certainly will do. Yeah,
this is very, very true.
Another goalkeeper. A different one.
Did you do some maths on their bench, by the way?
Well, yeah, I was just looking at some of the names on it. Yeah, it was, I think there's about £300 million for the players on their bench, which is a bit more than our six-ish. Most of ours were kind of, well, they were all children that we stole for small fees. So like Drama and McKinstry and McCarron and Somerville. So they're all youth buys.
Just wait till we take Ross Barkley from their bench and put him on ours instead.
But final word is, I think, plenty of reasons to be positive from that. No point in being down in the dumps about it. We didn't expect any points. We didn't get any points, but we put in one hell of a good performance.
We deserved points. We did, what hurts.
But as we have, you know, said when dealing with Brentford and so on, although jokingly, you don't get what you deserve in this game, do you?
Well, no, because otherwise we wouldn't have to play Brentford.
We'll wrap it up there then. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And we'll be back with another 3 points from the Etihad, I think. Come on, let's be positive about it, yeah?
Mm.
Yeah?
They've only beaten Wolves 1-0 today, haven't they? Wolves aren't great.
Nah, easy then.
Struggling Man City against buoyant Leeds United, who have got no players.
Struggling
left.
Man City have won, I think, their last like six games or something, and that, sit top of the table.
That's the one. We'll see in a bit. The Match Ball.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.